This week on Vaticano, the papal bull for the Jubilee year 2025 was proclaimed. 30 Nobel Peace Prize recipients gathered at the Vatican for a roundtable of peace to create a charter of humanity. Listen to Pope Francis at the 4th General States of Natality, discussing family importance. Witness a unique peace initiative at the Vatican inspired by Robert Schuman, founder of European Unity and on the path to sainthood. Also explore Blessed Carlo Acutis' devotion to the Eucharist. For this and more, Vaticano starts now.
We with God have to be like this, safe in God's arms, like a baby in its mother's arms.
The children's table was a tender moment of encounter at the World Meeting on Human Fraternity in Rome. Organized as part of the preparations for the upcoming World Children's Day on May the 25th and 26th in Rome, dozens of children crowned with laurels flooded the Synod Hall where they met with Pope Francis. In an informal exchange, the Holy Father engaged in a game of question and answer with the children, asking them to define happiness, peace, and friendship. The children's table was also a part of the World Meeting on Human Fraternity, organized by the Fratelli Tutti Foundation under the name #BeHuman, which took place on May the 10th and 11th in the Vatican. Spanning 2 days, the meeting involved 12 thematic round tables in which experts from around the world engaged in dialogue on the most pressing issues of our contemporary world from a perspective of fraternity, inspired by Pope Francis's encyclical, Fratelli Tutti. Topics such as sustainability, education, health, and social media were discussed by the participants, which included women, men, and organizations awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, as well as human rights activists. Pope Francis attended one of the roundtables titled Children, Future Generations, in which most of the participants were children. In his address to the little ones, the Pope stressed that the future of humanity depends on the young and the old working together.
The future of humankind rests on two pillars, the young and the elderly. It lies in the interplay between children and grandparents. This is a beautiful thing which urges us to take care of the elderly, of grandparents, and of children. This will be the future because grandparents impart their wisdom to us, while children learn from the wisdom of grandparents. Grandparents have a whole past that enriches us, while children inherit a future shaped by the past.
At the end of the children's round table, the Holy Father signed a copy of the Children's Declaration on Fraternity, a declaration written by the children themselves expressing what fraternity means to them. The world meeting concluded in the portico of St. Peter's Basilica with a concert featuring artists Giovanni Alevi, Roberto Vecchioni, and American country singer Garth Brooks.
My thoughts turn to all those pilgrims of hope who will travel to Rome in order to experience the Holy Year, and to all those others who, though unable to visit the city of the Apostles Peter and Paul, will celebrate it in their local churches. For everyone, may the Jubilee be a moment of genuine personal encounter with the Lord Jesus, the door.
Builders of hope. This is what Pope Francis encouraged the faithful to be during the official proclamation of the Jubilee 2025, in order to help bring more hope into this world, marked by too much despair. The papal bull, titled Spes non confundit, meaning hope does not disappoint, declares that the Jubilee year will officially begin with the opening of the Holy Door of St. Peter's Basilica on Christmas Eve 2024. This is an ancient tradition, which dates back to the year 1300. A jubilee is a special holy year of grace and pilgrimage in the Catholic Church. Pilgrims who walk through the holy door of one of the four papal basilicas in Rome can, in combination with going to confession, receiving communion, and praying for the Pope's intentions, receive a plenary indulgence.
La bolla spes non confundit.
In the papal bull, Pope Francis describes this indulgence as a way to discover the unlimited nature of God's mercy, which knows no bounds. In this document, Pope Francis also reminds the Church that all the hope as Christians is grounded in the certainty that nothing and no one may ever separate us from God's love. In his document, the Holy Father shared three signs of hope: the desire for peace in a war-torn world, the tragic loss of a desire to have children, as can be seen in the many countries experiencing an alarming decline in the birth rate, as well as the appeal for prisoners to be treated with dignity. Francis revealed that he would like to personally open a holy door within a prison, as a sign inviting prisoners to look into the future with hope and confidence. Pope Francis also reiterated his firm opposition to the death penalty and recalled the tradition of pardoning prisoners during Jubilee years. Finally, Pope Francis voiced his hope for more unity amongst Christian churches, not least because next year will also mark the 1,700th anniversary of the Ecumenical Council of Nicaea. Providentially, as the Holy Father put it, the Catholics will celebrate Easter at the same time as the Orthodox churches.
Hello and welcome to this week's Vaticano Updates, the most important news from the Holy Father and the Vatican. In a meeting with Major Archbishop Rafael Tatil and members of the Syro-Malabar Catholic Church, Pope Francis urged obedience amid a long simmering liturgical conflict. With fears of an imminent schism in the ancient Eastern Rite Church, the Pope stressed the importance of unity. The Syro-Malabar Church, an Eastern Catholic Rite in full communion with the Roman Catholic Church, has been divided for decades over whether priests should face the altar or the people during Mass. The Vatican held a three-day conference about climate change in Rome. The summit, organized by the Pontifical Academies of Sciences and Social Sciences, brought together policymakers, civic leaders, researchers, and lawmakers from the United States and other countries such as Italy, Kenya, and Sweden. By the end, the participants signed a new international protocol that will be submitted to the United Nations. At a conference on birth rates in Italy and the wider West, Pope Francis stated that the problem of our world are not the children, but selfishness, consumerism, and individualism, which make people lonely and unhappy. This was the fourth edition of the conference launched in 2021 by Gigi De Paolo, the president of the Forum of Family Associations here in Italy. The pontiff emphasized that birth rates are the primary indicator of a people's hope. In his message for the Fourth World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly, Pope Francis emphasized that the elderly are the firm foundation for the future. The World Day will take place on 28th of July 2024 and is organized by the Dicastery for Laity, Family and Life. This year's motto is, "Do not cast me off in my old age," a quote taken from Psalm 71. In a meeting with about 200 students and teachers from the Vatican School of Paleography, Diplomatic and Archival Studies, and the Vatican School of Library Science, Pope Francis warned against the toxic, unhealthy, and violent information that can be found on social media. The Holy Father emphasized the importance of inclusivity in knowledge and urged support for those on the margins of society, including those experiencing material, cultural, and spiritual poverty. Thank you for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. Andreas Tonhauser for EWTN Vaticano.
We'll return shortly to hear Pope Francis discuss the significance of families on Vaticano.
The problem isn't how many of us are in the world, but what kind of world we are building. This is the problem, not the children, but the selfishness, which creates injustices and structures of sin.
Global fertility rates are declining, affecting even predominantly Catholic countries, which historically maintained higher birth rates. This trend threatens to reduce populations below sustainable replacement levels. To counter this demographic decline, it's vital to invest in younger generations. This was the focus of the fourth Stati Generali della Natalità, General States of Natality, themed Being There, More Youth, More Future. The event, held on May the 9th and 10th at the Auditorium della Conciliazione in Rome, highlighted the importance of prioritizing youth to ensure a balanced future.
I'm glad to be with you again, because as you know, the theme of birth rates is very close to my heart. Indeed, every child's birth reminds us that God trusts humanity.
In Italy, the number of individuals aged 15 to 49, the fertile age group, has fallen sharply to 11.5 million from nearly 14 million in 2011. Additionally, over two-thirds of Italians aged 18 to 34 still live with their parents, compared to half across the rest of Europe. Furthermore, 8 out of 10 couples face challenges that hinder their plans to start a family.
The birth rate is the first indicator of a people's hope. Without children and youth, a country loses its desire for the future. In Italy, for example, the current average age is 47 years.
The sharp decrease in birth rates in Italy reflects a trend seen across Europe. Human Life International convened a meeting in Rome with its European regional directors to discuss shared strategies and issues.
We've lost a sense of how to speak a common language. What is marriage? The beauty of children? So today people think of children as, you know, a burden, a difficulty, a financial concern, but that's not how we approach this wonderful gift of family life.
While fertility rates in many developing countries, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa, continue to rise, global fertility has been declining for decades in industrialized nations with higher living standards.
The battle, the culture wars are enormous in Ireland. And we have seen plunging birth rates, increased abortion rates, marriage breakups through divorce, and now a big push for euthanasia. And in many ways, it's a manifestation of how Ireland, as most of the world, is slowly turning away from God, the source of all life.
Many of the world's most developed countries are well below the replacement rate of fertility. Generally, about 2.1 births per woman over her lifetime, needed to keep a population stable, according to data gathered by the World Bank. The sad trend in many of the European countries is divorce and loss of a stable father figure.
Many children were brought up without fathers, and our society is still now without strong, good fathers. And this is one of problems. And second problem is also economical, because difference between economy and life standards in our region and West, North Europe is very big, and this makes this emigration.
The trend of young people moving due to a lack of economic opportunities is a sad reality affecting many countries, with Croatia being just one example.
What I also want to say that one of the problem is also demographic picture. Young people don't see the future in our country.
Catholic populations have for years been associated with high fertility rates, owing in part to the Church's forbiddance of artificial contraception and its long-held teaching that children are, in the words of the Second Vatican Council, the supreme gift of marriage.
Mettiamo nel centro la persona umana.
Let's place the human person at the center. And then, as the great Robert Schuman said, economic progress must go hand in hand with moral progress.
Con il progresso morale.
The venerable Robert Schuman, often hailed as the founding father of a united Europe, left a legacy of peace that continues to echo throughout the continent.
our target is to create a forum where people can come and talk, where people can come and meet and see how mechanism of common market, of shared responsibility for defense can provide and security and prosperity to everybody.
Pierre Louvrier, founder of the Clementi Foundation and its chairman, inspired by Schumann's concept, hosted a round table at the Vatican to promote peace. The event emphasized dialogue to enhance worldwide stability. The Holy See accepted the invitation to host this encounter.
La Santa Sede da sempre rivendica di
non soltanto. The Holy See has always claimed to be not only neutral, but impartial. For this reason, it does not defend the interests of one side or the other, but the interests of the population, the interests of the common good. For this reason, I believe that the Church, especially the Catholic Church, has this great duty and does it. I believe a great duty to invite everyone to begin peace negotiations.
Di invitare tutti a iniziare i negoziati per la pace.
Behind closed doors, experts hailing from belligerent nations convened to promote dialogue and Schumann's vision of a community of interests, resonating with the Holy See's calls for peace. Jan Fige, a member of the advisory board of the foundation, facilitated his country, Slovakia, to join the European Union and NATO, practicing the vision of Robert Schumann, whose central goal was to ensure a lasting peace based on a shared European brotherhood. Pope Francis, by recognizing the heroic virtues of Robert Schumann in 2021, proposed him as an example to follow.
Message of Holy Father to United Nations is that brotherhood is road to peace. And we believe that it is important not only to say, to express, but to show, to nurture, to live in relation to the others. And there is, of course, a big challenge, not only in Ukraine, but on the old continent, to show that we are brothers in faith and in humanity. There are two famous lungs, Eastern and Western, of one body. And these lungs are bleeding in the East and are very weak in the West, because of secularism and relativism. And this renovation, recommitment is very important. We would see then fruits of such recommitment coming.
The high-level encounters of the Clementi Foundation at the Vatican began on April the 13th. Meetings were held behind closed doors, but to symbolize the universal call to peace, the foundation hosted a sacred music concert open to the broader public.
Our target there was to take people from different countries that were that are at war, like Palestine, Israel, like Azerbaijan, Armenia, like and then we brought many other nationalities. There are Americans, there are people from Federation of Russia, there are people from Ukraine. The head of orchestra is from Ukraine. And we've assembled them in a sign that around the beauty given by God, humankind can unite and provide beauty.
My dream is that we will build a community of shared values from Anchorage to Vladivostok, through Europe and through Central Asia. This would be the most powerful community for the peace in the world, not only in Europe, but for the world. I think 21st century is a great invitation to make it happen.
The Venerable Robert Schumann's vision has fostered almost 80 years of peace within the European Union. Now a candidate for sainthood, Robert Schumann's ongoing journey toward canonization continues to inspire. return shortly to emphasize Blessed Carlo Acutis' devotion to the Eucharist after a brief break. In 1991, the launch of the World Wide Web marked a technical achievement that would forever change human lives. In 1991, the same year the World Wide Web was launched, a boy named Carlo Acutis was born in Italy. He would go on to harness this groundbreaking technology to impact others' lives profoundly. Carlo epitomized a typical 90s kid, enjoying his PlayStation and the vast new opportunities provided by the internet. However, he was also deeply religious. By the age of 11, he had created a website that cataloged Eucharistic miracles, merging his tech skills with his devout faith.
Why some of his peers didn't have the same understanding and devotion to the Eucharist. He asked his parents, why do we see people lining up for soccer games or rock concerts, long lines, big crowds, but we don't see people lining up to see the Blessed Sacrament? And so for 2 years, Carlo worked with his family to produce an exhibition on Eucharistic miracles throughout history and around the world. And this premiered during the Year of the Eucharist, proclaimed by Pope John Paul II.
Antonia Salzano, the mother of Carlo Acutis, notes that after his first communion at age 7, Carlo never missed an opportunity to receive the Eucharist, drawing strength from it to live a life of integrity. This profound connection to Christ also gave him the fortitude to accept his terminal diagnosis when it was unexpectedly delivered by his doctor.
Carlo, when they told him that he had leukemia, that it was a disease that he could even die of, he smiled and said, "The Lord gave me a beautiful alarm clock," as if to say, "My time has come." Then he said, "I'm not coming out of this alive, Mom, but I'll give you many signs. Don't worry."
Carlo died of leukemia in 2006 at the age of 15.
Certainly many people remember this funeral. It seemed more like a feast than a funeral. But indeed, I think the festivity was because Carlo then ended up in heaven immediately. As he'd asked the Lord, "I offer my sufferings for the Pope and the Church in order not to go to purgatory, but to go directly to heaven." And I believe that the Lord listened to him.
Born in London and raised in Milan, Carlo Acutis is now entombed in the Church of St. Mary Major and the Sanctuary of the Spoliazione in Assisi's Old Town. The term spoliazione, which translates to divesting, refers to St. Francis of Assisi's renunciation of wealth.
I, as usual, am saying that Carlo is my little teacher because he is teaching me so much. Above all, to rediscover two great treasures of my life, the Eucharist and love for the Virgin Mary. He was able to say the rosary every single day and also go to Mass every day. And then, another thing that comes to me so much is his totality in God. For him, there was no halfway. It was all or nothing. When he said before he died that he didn't mind dying yet so young, because he hadn't lost even a minute of his life doing things that didn't please God. And he said, "To always be close to Jesus, that's my life's plan." And this strikes me very much. I too want that totality in God.
Another great phrase from Carlo that sums up his devotion to the Eucharist is Carlo liked to say, "The people who place themselves in front of the sun get a tan, while people who place themselves in front of the Eucharist become saints."
Carlo Acutis has not only changed the life of his mother, who has found her way back to God through her son, he's also a role model for many young Christians today, because he showed that even simple actions can have a big impact.
Carlo believed that the best time to pray was during Mass, right after the consecration. He said this is the best time to, in which he liked to speak to Jesus and to ask for graces. And people in his parish actually commented, they were struck seeing this 9-10-year-old little boy and how reverently he went up to receive communion and how he would sit and pray in silence and kneel before the tabernacle in prayer.
But Carlo Acutis's short life is also a challenge for every Catholic because it poses an important question.
If we really believe that Jesus is present in the Holy Eucharist, why don't we make every effort that we can to try to pray in front of the tabernacle and to receive the Blessed Sacrament as often as we can?